Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos for Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like...
Viste, qué rápido uno como tú se vuelve nada. Hello, hello, hello.
Good show.
How's it going, Babs?
It's going good. Getting ready to vote. I am not excited, but I'm urging everybody to do so. Sending emails to my students.
Girl, this airs on Thursday. Election day already passed.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Puta madre, you're doing a podcast, bitch. What the fuck?
Se me olvida.
Thank you for voting, everybody. Hopefully we're not in the middle of a civil war right now. That's what we should be saying. Oh my god.
No. Anyway, I'm good. Just eating el ¿cómo se llama? El bread. El banana bread de mi suegra, dude, it's so decadent. She on the surface she puts bananas, sugar, salt, turbinado sugar, whatever it's fucking called, and then le pone ¿cómo se llama? Le pone maple syrup, and all of that just like melts, and it makes this like crackling surface on the top. I think I ate half of a loaf today alone. It's so good.
Yum. I love banana bread is, I think, one of my favorite breads. Because it's not really bread. You're eating cake. I think they just call it banana. They call it banana bread so you can feel better about yourself eating a whole fucking block of it. Oh, my gosh.
¿Tú qué onda? ¿Cómo estás?
I'm fine. You know, well, as Babelito revealed, we are recording the day before Election Day. Because we don't do these live, but it's just been really stressful the last week. Like, I just want this to be over, you know, avoiding people, avoiding the internet, avoiding everything right now. So, this should be a great episode. Because you started off by talking about banana bread. So, you know, we're talking about important things here.
That's right. ¿Tú qué comiste hoy?
Today, oh my gosh, I am stress eating. So do you really want me to tell you what I ate?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. I got up and I drank some water and a grapefruit seltzer, you know, to get the day started.
para que se caliente el estómago.
And then I made like a leftover scramble for breakfast. That's my favorite. Uh-huh. So there was a rotisserie chicken, vegan, of course, in the kitchen, in the fridge. And then I had roasted some peppers last week. ¿Cómo se llaman? Poblanos.
Uh-huh.
You know? And I always have them roasted on deck to put on anything. So I chopped one of those up. And then I had some Daiya cheese and some frijoles. Daiya, it's like vegan cheese. Girl, it's 2020. Get with it. Mm-mm. Stop.
My modernity.
Save the planet.
My modernity hasn't pushed me to become a vegan yet, so I have no idea what the fuck that means.
You don't know what Daiya cheese is? It's just a type of vegan cheese.
Okay.
And then some beans that I made earlier this week. So, you know, I just like... made a little guisado, okay? And then I had that with tortillas. And then I had some baklava that was left over.
Jesus.
And then I had some cheese and caramel popcorn. And I'm feeling great. I'm feeling like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm like going to go into a diabetic coma or if I'm going to throw up. So, yeah. That's what I ate today.
Are you stress eating because of the election, or you just have a lot of work?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Both, but mostly I just want this. I don't know. I just want this. Honestly, I just want this year, maybe this year and next year, just to end. Just to like, I wish I could just fast forward. But you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right?
Right.
So here we are.
This is...
What did you... You just had banana bread today?
That's it. But I literally ate half of a loaf by myself. And...
Wow.
And no tengo nada. I don't have groceries. And going grocery shopping has gone from one of my favorite activities to like complete social anxiety, quítate de aquí, déjame pasar type of activities. So I avoid going grocery shopping. So I have nothing. So normally I, you know, like, as I mentioned before, like I grind my coffee and I have half and half because the brain needs fat in the morning to think, people. And I don't have anything. Entonces, tenía unos sobrecitos de café que mi mamá me dejó. Dije, well, fuck it. It wasn't bad. It was like not instantaneous coffee, but like close. And I have milk, pero guess what, Mimi? I have lechera. So I've been drinking, I think I've had like 4 cups of lechera endulzado coffee. It's like Vietnamese coffee. It's so, so good. So I've done nothing but eat sugar. So I know exactly what you mean. But I was thinking.
Damn, girl, you got your tooth removed and you're feeling hella brave now. You're like, I'm going to eat all the sugar.
I'm going for the second one. Let's do this. 2020.
You're like, let these teeth rot.
2020. But you know what? Like in school right now, we're in the middle of the semester. And it's almost like a Wednesday, right? Like you're in the middle of it. You just finish. You just finished the midterms, and everybody's done. Because normally during a regular semester, this shit is already difficult because you've been studying and staying up late, finishing up papers and stuff. But we're doing this online, so and Zoom fatigue is real. And when you couple that with the semester fatigue, like trying to catch up with grading or students trying to catch up with last assignments, and I cannot tell you how many emails I've gotten of people being infected in the past couple of weeks. It's kind of like alarming. I don't know if it's an excuse from my students, but I mean, given the circumstances, I have to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. So managing all of that, dude, has been so, like, as you say, like, I'm done with this year.
Yep.
Yep.
This year sucks. It just keeps getting worse. It ain't over yet.
I mean, at least there's like one of the few good things, which I guess we can talk about it later, about this year is that all these bands and all these artists and all these podcasts found themselves just like at home. And there's so much good content that is being created all over the place. So there's, you know, like there's plenty of things to look at and to listen to. Ah, salud. And to read.
Bless you.
Muchas gracias. But you know, like in a way, trying to stay busy is, este año se me fue volando, man. Like I just, because I've been working and reading and writing and this and that, at least we're already in fucking November, which is, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
It really is. I mean, you know, I guess I'm also not looking forward to the holidays because it's just, I don't know. I'm not in the holiday mood this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to go off into the woods somewhere and just dig a hole.
did you do anything for her?
Go find a cave and just live out the rest of the year. What?
Did you do anything for Halloween?
One of my best friends, her birthday is around Halloween, so I just went over to her house and it was really fun. She bought a Dutch oven.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what a Dutch oven is?
Yes.
It's so we got a cast iron one for camping. So it's just like big. It's big in Nevada. I remember I used to watch a show when I was little called Nevada Dutch Oven Cooking. And it was this old man that would go out and just cook in the middle of the desert on his Dutch oven. And
it's the Westward. It's a Westward flavor.
Sure. And then, so we learned how, that was really fun. We learned how to do that. You got to like heat up coals and then put them down at the right temperature, season your pot, you know, the cast iron, and then we made spare ribs with vegetable stew nice. And potatoes, and oh my God, it was so good. So that's what I did for Halloween. It was fun. Little campfire in my friend's backyard.
Did you divorce yourself from any Dia de los Muertos activities this year? In the spirit of not celebrating also Hispanic Cultural Month?
Yeah, bitch, I don't celebrate that holiday. I turned down maybe 6 Dia de los Muertos interviews / opportunities. Like, it's like clockwork. Like people don't remember that it's Dia de Muertos until the day before.
Uh-huh.
All these people hitting me up, they're like, "Hey, Favi, can you shoot a real quick 30-second or to a minute video about Dia de los Muertos for our social media?" And I'm like, "I'm from Durango. We don't celebrate that shit. And my Guatemalan family's hella Pentecostal / evangelical Christian, so that's devil shit. Sorry. Not my tea. Maybe ask somebody that actually celebrates the holiday. I know I look like Miguel from Coco, but like, that's not my shit. Bye.
Ciao." Oh, it's
so liberating just saying that now, instead of being like, "Okay, sure." And then me talking about cempasúchil, and people are like, "Wow, what a cool word." Ay, que coman mierda.
Que auténtico, que auténtico. I need to adopt that attitude. La coma with Molcajete Dominguero is like, "Hey, like, do you want to do a little explanation?" Because they have like little boxes that they put together with products of different Latinx creators, and then they send them away. So they call Molcajitas. So this, you know, like the new Molcajita was all about Dia de los Muertos. So like, I wrote a small explanation, and then they linked the explanation to a small video I recorded for him about Dia de los Muertos. Anyway, so that was like a month ago. It was great. It was fine. Whatever.
Con tiempo.
Exactly.
Wow. What a concept. Wow. You mean Luis knew that Dia de los Muertos was coming up?
Exactly.
Wow.
And he prepped herself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, so then fast forward like 3 weeks later, and then the people from Inside Edition, YouTube version. Have you ever seen that terrible show?
Yeah, it's been on TV since forever, the 80s.
Okay, so they're like, "Hey, so we saw there was a bookstore in Manhattan who linked the video. They're like, 'Oh, this is a good explanation of Dia de los Muertos, Guaraguara la Cuchara.' So he's like, 'I saw that, so I want to make a video with you explaining people.' And I'm like, 'Oh, fuck, it's like, this is trash, but whatever. Like, I want followers, like, I want to expand the dialogue, I'll do it.' So I got in a Zoom call for 30 minutes. We talk about Dia de los Muertos, and I was just like, 'This is how it is. This is how it is.' He's like, 'Okay, we'll come out on Monday.' So it came out this Monday. And of course, they didn't edit me weird or it wasn't anything like that, but they called me Arturo Babelito, AKA Dr. Babelito. I'm like, these pinches gringos, they couldn't even get my name. And I emailed them, I said, "My name is Emmanuel Ortega, and then AKA Babelito or Dr. Babelito, whatever, you know?" And they're like, "Oh, it's too late to change it, but we'll change it in the explanation." And I was like, "Well, pues ya que chingados. Arturo Babelito, en qué pinche fucking world, man." And it reminded me of a scholar in UNLV who every time she saw me, she's like, "Hi, Miguel." I'm like, "Oh my God, how many years has it been?"
Yeah, shout out to Libby Lumpkin.
Yes, shout out to Libby. I don't give a fuck anymore.
Man, I don't give a fuck anymore either. This episode is the I don't give a fuck anymore episode.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, so why don't we take a break? And then when we come back, we actually can start reading some listener letters. So we can maybe get ourselves in a different mood and have a little bit of fun.
Okay, sounds good. OMG, Babelito, it's time to thank our Patreon familia. If you go to patreon.com/latinoswholunch, You have access to episodes ahead of times. You can also get bonus episodes every month depending on what level you get on. We have our amigas, our comadres, our madrinas. It's just a big old happy family. It's like you're in a group WhatsApp chap. It's like you're in a, oh my God. It's like you're in a, you might want to edit that one out. Let me do a clean one for you.
Okay.
It's like you're in a group WhatsApp chat with me and Babalito. Right, Babs?
That's right. You can expect everything from video Zoom reunions and interviews to little extra episodes. It's actually a good way to communicate with the listeners. And today, we're going to shout out all of our comadres, but we are so blessed, #blessed, that we have so many. So let's do half of them, and then before the end of the show, we'll do the other half. How does that sound?
Great.
Okay, let's do it. Fostatic F, shout out to you.
A David, thank you.
Alejandro M, shout out.
Isis S, gracias.
Muchas gracias, amiga. Alma A, shout out.
Daisy M, thank you.
Julia V.
Juliana R, thank you.
Gavi L, shout out.
Christian R.
Angelica.
Jonah S.
Cody B, muchísimas gracias.
Alan M.
Veronica C.
Deborah R.
Robert L. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Jake N. Happy belated birthday.
Martha A. Shout out to you.
Sochi S. Trico, trico, madre.
Angelica N. We love you, girl.
Besos. Wepa, wepa. Edelweiss C.
Jesse R.
Ana. Cristina P.
Marimar M.
Holly S.
Jesus R.
I went to high school with her. Okay. Maria P. G.
Laura E. Shout out to you.
Chris.
Gilberto A.
Alicia K. Hey.
Besos. Jessica M. Shout out to you.
Alberto G.
Sylvia F.
Sarah R.
Antonio V.
Catherine H.
Shannon M. Shout out to you.
Alba.
Vanessa L.
Rosario CS.
Raquel SV. Shout out to you.
Susan A.
And Tyler. Muchísimas, muchísimas gracias to all of our comadres, comadrex, madrina, madrine, and also our amigas. Remember, before the end of the episode, we're going to come back and give some more shout outs to all of our amazing, amazing Patreons. Thank you so much.
Yay, thank you. And we're back.
That's it. Okay, so I love that we can always count on Mari to put us back into a good mood and actually like providing the content of this podcast for the past how many months now. Thank you, thank you. But remember, feel free to send us a voice memo, and you can now call to 512-333-0471 so you can ask your questions. You can leave that voicemail to that phone number. And of course, you can always send us your emails to asklwlpod@gmail.com, and we may read your email or we may play your voicemail. Again, 512-333-0471. You want to start?
All right. Our first question is from Mari. You asked for fun listener questions, so here they are. I hope your listeners enjoy them. I had a blast writing these and the titles. Category is Y Fuera! Let the Chacal's trompeta play. By the way, no singing competition was more brutal than El Chacal. Sorry, Idol. Oh, sorry. Tengo talento. Mucho talento. Okay. Okay, here we go. I'm Latino, but I don't like blank. It's like the Snatch Game.
Yes. I'm Latino, but I don't like mariachi music.
Oh, okay. What don't I like that's Latino? Let's see. I'm... Huh. I guess I'm Latino and I don't like conchas.
Oh, but that falls more into like the Mexican category. But yes, I mean, the same thing with mariachi.
Mexicans are Latino, Babalito.
Are they? Fuck, I always forget. I thought their own.
Next question. I'm gay. Uh-huh. I'm gay / queer, but I don't like.
Ay, 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 ay. I don't know. Mainstream fucking gay media. I'm just not into it at all. And I never
What would you consider mainstream gay media?
Like, I don't know, like anything produced by gay whites. So todo. I don't know, man. Like, there's so many. It's always been a fight for me. Like, I just never seen myself reflected on anything that it's been put out there, at least in popular media, you know? So it's always been like a battle that I've had. And RuPaul was like probably the first time where I was like, okay, I'm down. But after years, I was disappointed. So I don't know. I don't know. And plus, like, what do you consider gay and queer anymore, you know? Like, so I don't know.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I've heard you quote Golden Girls before. That's pretty straight. That's pretty gay and white.
That's pretty gay and white. You're absolutely right.
I'm pretty sure you like Cher. That's the whitest and gayest.
I actually don't, but I went to go see her. This is how much I was trying.
Okay.
I was really trying. I was like, I guess I'm supposed to like this shit. And I guess I'm supposed to fucking listen to her. So fuck it. I'm going to buy tickets to go see her in one of her 20,000 farewell tours. And it was pretty good.
And you bought the album afterward. No, and you bought a poster. And now it's at your house.
Dude, this is how hard I was trying. Me compré una camisa de mezclilla and I took off the sleeves. I put rhinestones in my fucking sleeveless.
What a fucking F word. Oh my God.
I remember thinking, like, okay, this is cool, but like, it was me trying. Like, me going to fucking musicals. Like, there was for a while, like, back in the day at the Aladdin, they were always having all these musicals, like off-Broadway shows. And I would just go to them because, like, this is how much I was trying. I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to like this shit. And I never liked any of the fucking musicals. And to this day, I hate musicals. So there you go. I'm gay, queer, but I don't like musicals. So that's a good answer.
That used to be me too. And then I don't know. I saw a couple good ones and it just, like, it changed my mind.
Like,
you know?
Like which ones?
Well, when I was in high school, I was like, we did The Wiz one year and I love that musical. And then I saw the movie and I was like, the movie's actually not that good. But then I saw like a live version of it, mm-hmm. and it was like the coolest thing I ever seen. And then I don't know, just like I remember seeing, you know, I don't pay for this. I remember seeing Hairspray. That was really awesome. That one's really gay. I'm pretty sure that turned me gay, Hairspray, the musical.
By the end of the show, you're like, yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was doing, let's see, what else? I was with John Goodman. Do you remember that?
It's been like...
So back in the day, like there was this, they wanted Las Vegas to be like the next Broadway. So, like, all the big casinos had musicals, and the only one that lasted was The Lion King at the Mandalay Bay, remember?
Yes. Oh, my God,
But
yes.
Then Hairspray was in Vegas, and John Goodman played the mom, in the drag queen, uh-huh. in the show. It was so good. Okay. I'm gay / queer, but I don't like... Oh, my God. People are going to... I don't know. I don't like Taylor Swift. And I know this is controversial yet brave to say, but I'm not a Lady Gaga fan.
I mean, neither.
Like, I like her, like, and maybe like one or two of the songs on each album, but like Chromatica, I tried so hard to like listen to the whole thing and I couldn't do it. Me da como pena ajena listening to her. Because Lady Gaga, like, tries so hard. She tries so hard. You know, like, she doesn't have... Okay, like, people talk shit. I love all the divas. I'm not saying that I don't, like I hate... I don't, I hate Lady Gaga. And even Taylor Swift. Like, I used to hate Taylor Swift, and now I'm just like, okay, just stay over there, you know?
Yeah, like, but, at arm's length.
yeah, like her, Katy Perry, que se queden allá, okay? Pero, oh my God, Katy Perry's the worst.
But, she is the worst, my God. There was one show, where like, there was like, it was therapy for the stars. And I think I watched her episode for like 2 minutes, and I was like, I cannot even watch for the joy of seeing her, like, you know, like fake white tearing. Like, I couldn't. It was so fucking annoying. Ugh. Anyway.
But like, it was like my Mariah Carey, like, for example, my Mariah Carey trajectory or whatever, it was like, I liked her when I was growing up. I thought she was cool. And then I'm like, I'm not going to be one of those gays. You know, like when you've come out and you're like a self-hating gay because toxic masculinity, right? And you're like, well, I'm not going to be like one of those people. And then I went to go, and then like, I'm like the biggest Mariah Carey fan now because she's like the shit, you know? She's got that fucking swagger. Like people will talk as much shit as they want about Adele, but Adele is like, she stands on stage and she sings and she just fucking shits on the stage. Like, nobody can, like, Lady Gaga can't do that.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
La Lady Gaga puede brincar y subirse y volar y
she can look like a fucking
nothing. Yeah.
Se ve como un fucking transformer con rabia on stage, like she does that to try to have as much presence as Adele does in a simple black sequin dress, you know?
Right.
Like, yeah. Anyway, next question. I'm a guy, but I don't like
women. I'm just kidding.
You do hate women. That's very true.
I am a guy, but I don't like any type of sports, I guess. If we're going with that, like, simplification of the binary system. Yeah, I don't like to... Yeah, that. No, actually, that's not true. I don't know. What would you say? Like, it's just like, it's so specific that I'm just like, what does that mean? Like, what does queer mean? What does a guy mean anymore? You know? I don't know.
Wow, so progressive. Biden 2020. Okay, so, yeah, I would say the same thing. I don't like sports. I've tried so hard. I've pretended, like, I'm like, maybe I can get into the Olympics because there's a lot of gay shit in the Olympics. I can't get into that shit either. I don't give a fuck. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Unless it's on a reality show, you know, and they're just going through an obstacle course, I'm not watching it. Okay. I'm from Vegas, but I don't like blank.
Gambling.
Same.
I don't get it. I've done it one time. I knew somebody that worked in a casino, so she was hooking us up with the good drinks, and I was like, fuck it, I have this $200, I'm gonna blow it. 20 minutes later, I'm like, okay, let's go home and watch the Golden Girls. Like, no, I can't do this.
Yeah, I don't like to gamble. The only gambling I like to do is like the goldfish slot machines. I love those because they're fun. And then
the Wheel of Fortune.
No, not that. Goldfish, that's the only one I play usually. But it's because you could put $20 in and just sit there for an hour, you know? It's fun.
Right.
And bingo. I'll play bingo, but that's all for the experience, not for, like, winning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, bingo is about being surrounded by senior citizens looking at you, yes, like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yes.
And you just drink a, yes, cup of coffee after a cup of coffee after a cup of coffee out till, like, you're super. And going playing bingo high is, like, the best thing ever.
Girl, that's the dumbest shit you could ever do. They call the numbers so fast. Girl, no wonder. You're a fucking mess, bitch. You know, if you go to Palace Station, they have Dole Whip. So instead, because you get 2 free drinks per game, per bingo game, and they have Dole Whip. You know what Dole Whip is?
Yes, I know what Dole Whip is.
And you could just, like, have them at, if you want to drink it, like, have an alcoholic beverage, they could put, like, rum in it. It's really good. Okay. Like that one time I went to Disneyland and put a flask of rum in my
a shadow mezcal in my
jacket. First ride we went to was the fucking tiki room, bitch, and we were lit. It was so fun. Okay, next. Are they ever gonna open Disneyland? I heard there was a protest. There are people protested trying to get into the Magic Kingdom, into Disneyland here in California.
Because capitalism is so fucking effective that a lot of people's identity is based on the content that Disney has been producing for the past whatever fucking decades. So like I can see how not being able to go to Disneyland and like in a way perform your identity could be like, people must be depressed.
Girl, this is what I was going to talk about when you talked about sports. Mm-hmm. It bothers me when that's, okay, I have a few relatives that's their only personality.
Yeah.
Like their personality is that, okay, you know, I don't like to talk ill of women, but there is a type of girl or woman that their personality is always like, I'm a cool girl. I don't like girl stuff. I like to hang with the guys and I like sports and I'm going to wear this big hoodie. And then they marry a man child and are miserable for the rest of their life. I'm like, that's what you were trying to get out of like hanging with the boys? I don't get that. Unless you're like, I don't know. It's like, it's this trope that you see all the time, but it's real. Because I know a few of my family members that are like that. I'm like, so your personality is the Dodgers? What? Like, what else do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about anything else? No? Okay.
Oh, my anyway, God. There is a...
Shout out to the Dodgers.
Okay. Shout out to my sister, Ocides. We love you.
Yeah, oh, my God. Your sister has other things she likes,
she
too,
definitely,
okay?
She definitely does.
Yeah.
But they were in a WhatsApp chat with my... family in Juarez, and they're like, did you see that? And I was like, yes, totally. I couldn't relate whatsoever, but I get that. But that's the thing, man, like I don't like it, but I also understand it. Like in Vegas, it became part of the identity, especially after October 1st, after the mass shootout, and all of a sudden the Golden Knights became a thing. And it was like almost like a vehicle for people's, you know, like city pride, to the point that like people are obsessed with that stuff. And part of their identity is dependent on somebody winning or losing a game. But sports, that's why people do this comparison, sports and religion, you know, like it's the opium of ¿cómo se llama? Of the people. Like I understand that it's an escape and people do that, and to the point where you just become completely identify with that. It's a thing. I get it, pero está cabrón.
What do you think is less violent, being like super religious or being a super sports, like a super fan of a sports team?
Hijo de su madre, es que los dos, you enact what Kirsten Buick, shout out girl, what Kirsten calls the tools of hate, right?
Like you. Who is Kirsten Buick? What does she do?
Kirsten Buick from full professor from art history in the University of New Mexico and my advisor. She calls them the tools of hate, race, class, and gender. Mm-hmm. And with religion, that's what you do. You enact the tools of hate. You know, like it's like about masculinity, it's about race, and we've seen that with sports over and over again, and definitely it's about class, especially when it comes to spectatorship. So I don't know. I mean, just because historically it's religion, but I can see both being very, very violent, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think religion has killed more people than sports, though.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay, great. These are really fun questions. Okay, next one. Pet peeves. You have any pet peeves?
Oh, my God. So this could be like...
We can do a girl. For me, we could do a whole episode, a three-hour special on my pet peeves, but go ahead.
Okay, it depends, because like... Just, you know, because in the spirit of Latinos Who Lunch, we talked about... how we didn't like when people take from your plate. Remember how we talked about it last time?
Yeah.
And I was going to say this, and I mean, we just started talking, but I have to have three elements in my plate. So like, if I make calabacitas, I need to make calabacitas con arroz and maybe have a salad. I cannot just have arroz and calabacitas. Like, I have to have three things in my plate. Like, it's a pain. So if I go to a restaurant and I only see two things, like, oh, hijo de la chingada. Like, I hate it. And also, when people take from the carton eggs, and by people, I mean my husband, when they take out eggs and they don't arrange it in a symmetrical way, every time in the morning I open that carton and I see the eggs arranged not in a symmetrical way, it drives me bananas. Why?
Wait.
I have no idea why.
I think those two things you mentioned aren't really pet peeves. Those are like OCD things.
Oh, shit. Okay, I did
maybe
therapy.
Maybe you need to talk to somebody.
Okay, what's a pet peeve? Yeah. Tell me, pues.
Like, a pet peeve is like, okay, let me... I don't want to be too specific because then people will know who I'm talking about. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know. Like, for me, I just have so many, like what we were talking about, like people that always ask you for food, like when you're eating, like, can I have a bite? Or like, can I have a fry? Like, those are really huge pet peeves for me. People that don't say, like, things like when people don't, when people ask me something and don't, they're not asking, they're telling me to do something instead of like, saying like, can you pick me up for the airport? You know, like, yeah. I don't like it when people message me and like beat around the bush. Like, hey, what are you doing at this time on this day? And I'm like, I don't know. Let me look at my calendar. And I tell them, they're like, are you going to be available that time in the afternoon? Like, you could have just sent me one text. It's like, hey, I needed a ride from the airport at this day, this time. Can you please pick me up? ? And then I could just respond yes or no. I don't have to play like 20 fucking questions on my phone. You know what I mean?
Like, hey, like, that's like a. How about those sculptors in Terminal A? Yeah, totally. I get it.
And then I come off as rude because I'm always like, after like the second out of the 20 questions, I'm like, do you need a ride from the airport that day? ? And then they don't have, and then they won't say yes, please. They'll just be like, yes. Oh, if you can, I don't mean to bother. And I'm like, fuck you. You've already bothered me. Like, see, like, that's a pet peeve. See how I'm getting pissed off? Or like,
I mean, yeah. I don't know. I think, and this is something very like Latino, I guess, or Latinx, that people don't say thank you. Like, that's something, I know it's not a big deal, but like, if I make dinner or if I like open the door for you, like people just walk by, I'm like, you welcome your fucking majesty. Like, it's such a simple thing, but also the Latino community, we're like so extra that we say thank you to everything. When somebody asks us for money in the street and we're like, no, thank you. Like, why do we do that? You know, like, it's a very colonial thing. But I remember when we first moved to the States, I noticed that. I'm like, I need more thank yous. Like, and that fucking, to this day, drives me, you know, drives me bananas because I think it's such a simple gesture. So I guess that will be a pet peeve for me.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, driving / parking pet peeves.
Mira, when I moved to Albuquerque, I was so enraged all the time because people are not in a hurry because it's not a middle size or big city, you know? So people driving in the freeway below 55 miles, I don't understand. I have an uncle like that in Juarez, and every time we cross the border, he will go like 40 miles an hour. I'm like, we're going to get pulled over. Like, you need to go at least 55, 60 miles per hour. That drives me, I don't like it. So that definitely is not going fast enough in an open highway or in a freeway. ¿Y tú?
Yeah, you are a crazy driver, though.
I am. I love it. Speaking of capitalism being part of your identity, I need to drive and listen to music, going into road trips. I have to have control. Like, it's my thing, man. It's my thing.
I guess my pet peeve, like when people are like swerving in and out just to like get ahead of the traffic. Like when you're on a regular street and like I'm going the speed limit. I know that I'm a slow driver, like so people, and my truck is old and my speedometer doesn't work half the time. So I kind of, it's a gear shift, you know, like it's a manual. Mm-hmm. So I kind of know how fast I'm going based on the gear that I'm in. Is that the right terminology? I think so,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
And so I'm like, okay, I'm in fourth. I should be going around 40, 45 right now, you know, but I'm not sure unless there's other cars around me.
Right.
And so sometimes cars will get pissed off and like go around me, or just like in general in traffic, you know, like on Las Vegas, there's like, we have huge streets. They're like 8 lanes long or wide. Sorry. And people are like swerving like through the traffic just to get like a couple car lengths ahead.
Yes.
That bothers me. I'm like, you're that fucking stressed out. Like, and my favorite is that usually I catch up to them just going the speed limit. And my favorite thing to do is like wave at them. Like when I catch up to them, like next to them at the red light, I'm like, hi. I just look over and I'm like, hi, how are you? Hello. Hi. So they see me and then they look at me all pissed and then they're swerving. And I catch up to them again. I'm like, hey, girl. Hey, I'm going the speed limit and I'm still
like
with you here in the same spot. Oh, my God. And look at that.
And isn't it that even if you go like, let's say it's 65 miles an hour and you go 80 miles per hour, if you go along with somebody that goes with the speed limit, you're going to save like 2 minutes, depending on the distance, like a minute or a couple of minutes.
If you got to clock in and you can't be 1 minute late, I guess that's what you're saving. Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. And then people that double park, que coman M. Okay.
Oh, that's the next one.
No, that was the parking pet peeve. Okay. Worst party you've ever been to.
I never really had like an experience where it's like, ooh, or like, get me out of here, or like.
I've been to many parties that I've thought that.
Really? No, I haven't.
Yeah, several.
I haven't. And probably it's because I don't go to parties. So I was thinking about this before, and I couldn't think of a specific. I've had bad experiences going out. But not like a party, you know what I mean? Like if I actually accept to go to a party, like some house parties, because it's somebody that I know that, you know, it's going to be a good time or whatever. So I don't know. I cannot think of anything. You?
Listen, I love to party. And so I don't know, maybe like 5-6 years ago, I noticed that I was getting invited to stuff because it would be expected that I would be like the life of the party or like the host of the party when I got there.
Right.
Cause I'm like, what are y'all doing? This shit is so boring. Let's do something. Let's, does anybody have cards? Let's play a game. Let's do something. You know, like I'm always trying to organize or like just, I don't know. I just don't like, it's just such a waste. Like we're all here. Let's do something fun, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm, instead of getting just wasted or whatever people do in their parties, but I think after I was conscious of that, I like didn't like going to parties because I'm like, I could make the choice. Do I just want to be boring and sit here with everybody else, or do I want to like entertain? And I'm less and less inclined to be the entertainer now because I just want to chill, you know?
Yeah.
So lately the parties that I go to, well, lately, meaning not this year, last year, they're very just like kickbacks, you know? Because, like, when my friends come from L.A. and they want to go party on the Strip and all that shit, I'm like, girl, if y'all need a ride somewhere, let me know. I'll give you guys a ride. But I'm going to dip. I don't know. It's just not fun for me anymore. Right. Unless we're doing something. Oh, you know what? There was a really fun party we had earlier this summer. It was a socially distant hang because my friend has a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all got super high and just like took a corner of the pool and just like we're in the pool, and then they set up a projector and we watched Beyonce's Black is King in the pool, high, eating in the pool. It was so great. That was like the last like fun party. The worst party that I've ever been to
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
There it
oh
is. Oh my god. There it is.
Who am I gonna drag? Who am I gonna drag? Oh my god. Let me think. Where I was like, this is crazy. I gotta get out of here. I don't know. Oh my gosh. So I used to okay.
Let me hear it.
It was fun while it was happening, but after it wasn't that great, okay? Uh-huh. So we used to live at, we used to call it the Pawnee House. So if anybody lives in Las Vegas, when I was in undergrad, I used to live with like four other grad students. They're older than me, art students, in this like mid-century modern, like really cool looking house that had a, it was like, it actually used to be Rip Taylor's house. Do you know who Rip Taylor is?
Mm-hmm.
Who's Rip Taylor?
It's a comedian.
What was he famous for?
I don't fucking know. I just know he's a comedian. What do I need to know more about him?
Well, because if you knew what his signature move was, this would be a cool detail.
Es el del confeti, ¿no?
Yes, okay. Exactly. I've told this story before. So, or this detail before. So there was glitter on the ceilings because it was Rip Taylor's house. Like, it was a cool house. There was literally glitter on the ceilings. It was really funny. And so we had this huge pool. It looked like this house back, you could see, like, in its heyday, was like a drug dealer's house, uh-huh. You know? And so it was the party house, and it didn't matter what day of the week it was, what weekend it was. People would just show up with alcohol and drugs, and we're like, okay, let's party. And we'd be like, okay, I guess we live here. Sure, come on in, you know. And people would hang out at the pool. One time, I think I lived there for a couple years. I don't remember. We decided to throw a art show / like music show. And we had these bands, somebody that lived there organized it, and we had like five bands do a show in our backyard.
Oh my God,
and
they how we fun. Just like,
it was back in the day before like Facebook. Well, no, Facebook was a thing, but before like Instagram and all that shit, yeah. You know? And before social media like really blew up. So we handmade posters,
uh-huh.
And like put them up around school and like all the cool place, like art places.
Yeah.
I don't know why we made it open to the public, but we did. And it was insane. Like I don't know, over 100 people showed up to our house, and it was just like a rager. And then there was this thing called, and I was just like, in my head, I was like, our house is going to collapse. Like, this is crazy. There's too many people. And in my head, I was just thinking, who's going to clean this up? I'm going to have to clean this up. Yeah. I can't believe this. And so I couldn't really let loose the whole time because of that. And then one of the fucking guys that was living with us, he was only living with us for the summer, like subletting a room or something. He was like a hippie guy, and he was into this thing called Critical Mass, which was like this group of people that would just bike ride like for miles, like, and go drinking and stuff, uh-huh. Here in Vegas. They would like ride all the way down the strip and do like a pub crawl kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, they made one of the stops our house.
Oh my god, so no. Then,
yeah, so then all these cyclists showed up, and then all of them all sweaty, nasty, jumped in the pool. Girl, when I tell you, the next day, that party was wild. The next day I woke up, I couldn't get into my bathroom because there was shout out to my friend Cassie. She was passed out on the ground. And every time I tried to open the door, I would hit her head. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess I got to go pee outside. And I go outside to use the bathroom, all hungover, all crazy, just like, I'm just going to go pee in the backyard. The pool is green. Green.
Asco. Like,
disgusting. And that was just bad all around. That was just bad. Okay. Next question.
Uh-huh.
Worst work mishap.
Pues me pasaron dos, pero I don't know the word mishap. One was that I was cleaning, because I work in retail for years before, you know, going to grad school. Like a decade or something like that. But I was cleaning a, like, como una vitrina, you know, like the vidrio. and the whole, like, I was cleaning it pretty hardcore, and the whole thing shattered, like, on top of me. And, you know, it's like that glass that when it breaks, se quiebran cachitos, cachitos, cachitos. So, like,
yeah, so it doesn't kill you.
Right, like, I remember hearing the sound and looking down, and then it was, todo pasó tan rápido, and then I looked at my hands, and there were just blood all over my hands. And I was just like, I had no idea how long it passed. But then, like, my coworker in the back started, like, pushing me. Like, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. And, like, I came back. So, like, I was, like, between the sound and the blood. Because I don't remember feeling pain. Between the sound and the blood, I think I went in, like, shock motion. Like, I just froze.
Yeah.
And then he's like, are you okay? Are you okay? And then, like, I woke up and I'm like, no, I think I'm fine. But, like, ya sabes que a veces las manos o la cara, like, you get a little cut and it's super extra and it looks like so, like, much. So I was just, like, draping blood, holding my, like, my hands, like, what the fuck just happened? And it took me a while to, like, recreate what had happened. And I was just like, oh, but it was that. It was just like, I'm so glad that it didn't fall in my eyes or nothing else. But that was one. And the second one was also working in retail. And you have to put the alarm before you go. And I always end up fucking closing these doors. And in Vegas on the strip, when you're one of the closers, you're there till midnight. Some stores are open to like 1 or 2 p.m. a.m. So I always punch the alarm code, and for like, I'm going to say for 6 or 7 months, I knew this alarm code and it was 4 fucking digits. So it's like beep, 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 like that. And one day, yo no sé por qué chingados que pasó, que comí, I don't know what the fuck happened, pero se me olvidó el número. So I just stood there and se me olvidó el número, and I had activated the alarm, and you have to put the number and then exit. So I activate the alarm, and before I put the 4 digits, se me olvidó. So ahí me tienes como pendejo como hasta las 2, 3 de la mañana for the alarm company to come in. It was sounding. You could hear all over the Caesar's Palace. And I was just like there for 2 hours. It was like so annoying. I had the security company. I had corporate from New York call me. I had my boss call me. It was just like one of those nights that just wouldn't fucking end. But I think the worst one was the glass, because I remember so vividly just like así hincado de rodillas viéndome las manos todas pinches sangradas bien exageradas. But so those are two that I can think about. What about you?
I don't know if I should say the ones that were the worst, because. I don't care anymore. One time I worked at an art gallery. This is bad because I'm an artist and I work with art galleries and museums.
Is this the same art gallery from last time?
Shh, calladita, calladita, te ves más bonita, mija. It was, I may or may not have been hanging a show of Renoir.
Oh, my.
Paintings and prints. And I may or may not have dropped one.
you're like Steve Wynn.
Steve Wynn, puta.
What did I say?
You said Wynn. Like. But
anyway,
I dropped it and I fixed it without, no, like I fixed it in air quotes, and then I just moved on with my day. But I thought I was gonna get fired, and I thought I was gonna have to pay for that. I don't know how many millions of dollars that shit was. It was,
oh my god.
It was a Renoir, bitch. Like, it was real.
I was thinking of the wrong gallery. Fuck. Okay. Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty good. But
that's pretty bad, right?
But fuck, the impression is you did a good thing for society.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. Next one. Worst dining experience you've ever had. Oh, wow. Okay.
Tú primero, porque yo... I don't know, man, but every time I go to a restaurant and there's live music, I just fucking hate it so much. I cannot eat. I either listen to the bad music that has been played from a synthesizer in the corner of the restaurant, or I actually eat. Or when you're eating and then llegan los mariachis y te cagan la comida. Like, anything like that, I can't. Like, and I know there's, like, it was a thing for a while here in Vegas. We're like, it's como la cena show, that you get your food and then you watch a show, and I don't understand that. I don't like it. O mascas chicle o bailas tango. Like, you cannot do both things at the same time. So I cannot think of a specific one, but I know that every time that happens, I just have a bad time, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah. Only one is coming to mind, and it's just because I've made fun of my friend about this for so long. And it really wasn't, it wasn't my friend's fault, but my friend had a birthday party. And, you know, this is a good opportunity to talk about this, because I think this needs to be basically like a public service announcement. If you want, you know, like maybe 10 years ago, maybe this is when this happened, maybe like 8-10 years ago. No, I don't remember. But my friend thought it would be a good idea for all of our friends to go eat tapas at this top fancy tapas place on the Strip. And it was like 20-something of us. And I'm just going to say it right now. If you go have tapas with somebody, that's like a 4, maybe 5-person max thing to do. Because once you have more than that,
vas a pedir nobody... un chingo de comida.
Nobody gets to try anything, right? Because usually the tapas come out and it's like, oh, a little, una pringa de esto, otra, you know, like, it doesn't, who cares? Like, oh, cool, a mozzarella stick. Let me have a bite and pass it around. Like, what the fuck, right? So, and I shit you not, I think I spent like $90 that night on that meal, and I was still hungry after we left the restaurant. And me and one of my other friends went to a restaurant next door and like bought a couple slices of pizza because we were still hungry. And I'm like, never fucking again will I go eat tapas. Like, tapas, hot pot, and Korean barbecue. If it's like, that's like a 4-person thing. It's not a like a giant group thing. It never works out.
And it's, you always end up so much money, because it's just, I think they're designed for that, for you to order more meat and more meat and more sides and more sides. And it's, I mean, if you
and
do
again,
it right.
And again, my friend didn't know. It's not their fault. If they're listening, I'm really not holding a grudge over that. But it was like, it was just like the whole experience of like, and then I ordered something very specific and they forgot. I ordered something very specific. It was rabbit, actually, because I was like, oh, I've never had rabbit before. Let me try it.
Let's do this.
And so I ordered that, and they never brought it out until like 2 hours into the meal. And by that time, I was already hangry. And so anyway, that's it.
Okay.
That's the one. Okay. Latinx stereotype / BS that gets under your skin the most.
Estoy hasta la madre, and I've been for a long fucking time, of the stereotype of the overly sexualized Latino and Latina. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything for liberating sexual whatever Latinos. It doesn't. It just doesn't. Like, la típica chichona nalgona, Sofia Vergara shit. Like, I just, like, I'm so tired of that, of the Latin lover shit. Like, it doesn't do anything. Like, if I want to see that shit, I'll just watch some porn. I need some fucking substance to our communities represented out there. I am so tired, and no matter what it is, we're always like, yes, we're visible. There's a show about Latino this. There's always going to be that stereotype. Stripe out the stereotype. And I'm so tired. Every time I see that every time I see a little bit of that, even if it's just in one scene or one episode, it's such a big turn off because it's just like, it's como contraproducente, you know, like, and it's everywhere. And it, for some reason, it almost seems like in order for us to make it, we have to be that stereotype. Y me caga la madre, güey. That's one thing that I'm down with, like, with so many of the stereotypes. And I'm like, fuck it. Yeah, that's in my family. Yeah, I am like that. Like, I don't care. Like, you deal with it. Fuck it. Pero that's one of them that it just doesn't do anything. It doesn't do, at least in my opinion, you know. Obviously, I might be wrong and other people have other opinions, which is okay. Pero, like, I just don't like that. That's one stereotype that I hate. Anyway.
Yeah, I would agree. That's what I was going to say, is like the Latin lover, and then like calling us like spicy and you know, just like always with the like, oh, they have such what is the word? Oh my God, I can't even think right now. But like, just like, you know, we're always cast as the ones with tempers on the TV shows. Yeah.
You're so passionate, which I hate, because that seeps into like my fucking career. You have no idea how many times where I present, I don't know, like a new theory or something. They're like, you're so passionate out there. I'm like, what? Like, no, I'm just presenting and that's just my style of doing
it. We're sorry. We're not fucking boring ass fucking mayonnaise, okay? Like, we're McCormick mayonesa con un poquito de limón, right? That's the stereotype that I don't like. Like, ooh, spicy, ooh. Like, no, bitch, we're just not fucking bland ass boring bitches. And we can't actually survive being bland and boring and mediocre like y'all, because we're not allowed that fucking privilege, bitch. So we're not spicy. We're just fucking trying to survive. And maybe we actually like what we're doing, okay? And not just getting by and taking up space where we can go sit the fuck down somewhere and let somebody else actually do important work.
That's it. Oof.
All right. Thank you so much, Mari, for the questions. Do you want to do one more, Babs, or are we done?
I think we're done. We need to go into commercial and then do some recommendations.
Great, great. Thank you for that. Let's do it. OMG, Babalito. It's time to thank the rest of our LWL fam, our comadres, right?
Yes, let's do it. And thank you again to our amigas, comadres, and everybody in our madrinas that are supporting us and making this endeavor of love happen all the time. So let's start with Jeanette H. Shout out to you. Thank you so much.
Leah TH. Thank you, Leah.
Catherine M. Shout out to you.
Aceberry B. Thank you.
Janet P.
Herman M.
Gris M. R. Shout out.
Josue R. Thank you.
Magali E. Muchísimas gracias.
Dan the Man. Thank you so much.
Cynthia J. Te lo agradecemos.
Jessica V.
Nick B.
Lauradora N.
Lydia M.
Camille S.
And Chelsea MH, shout out to you.
Jeanette R.
Barry from Podcasts in Color, shout out to you. Thank you so much.
Alejandra N.
Hector DD, muchísimas gracias.
Angela A.
Dulce CP, shout out to you.
Michael L.
Gabriela O, muchas gracias.
Kikis.
Robin M. Shout out to you.
Tanya M.S.
Marisol.
G. Oh, no. Grecia R.
David Elle. David L. Shout out to you.
Yesenia L.D. Or Yesi L.D. My bad, Yesi. Yesi, I'm sorry.
Osiris O, que vivan los Dodgers.
Ann L, thank you.
Anita R, mujer fiera, shout out.
Lucia A, thank you.
Daniel S.
Raciel C.
Angélica.
and Ross A. Thank you.
Muchísimas gracias a todos. And remember, stay tuned for the episodes this month for the shout out to our amigas and our comadres. No, madrinas and our amigas. Thank you. Thank you so much to everybody.
Como dice Babelito, muchísimas gracias.
Chi-chi-chi-chi.
And we're back.
That's it. Again, Mari, thank you for saving us. I love all those questions. I hope you are crafting from 200 to 500. to get us through the next year. This was awesome.
No, don't do that, please. But I would like an update. If you're listening, I just want to know how you're doing. Will you send us an update? Tell us how you're doing. We haven't heard from you since the beginning of the pandemic, right? So
that's right.
Mari, if you're listening in Tokyo, it's Favi. I want to know how you're doing. Send us an update. I want to read it to the listeners. Because I feel like so close to you now that you've curated all these listener letters. Okay.
That's right. Okay, so any recommendations to this week?
Sure, go ahead. You first.
Okay, so my recommendation is an album that I've been waiting for a while to come out. This is from Ella Minus. Ella Minus is an electro pop, a little bit on the experimental side, musician. She is a badass, except that she never answers my emails. But that's okay, because her music is fantastic. The new album, Acts of Rebellion, just came out to good critical reviews. And I agree. I've been listening to this album for the last couple of days. There is there's even a collaboration with El Lado Negro. And that's actually how I learned. I've heard of her before, but when I heard her voice in El Lado Negro's last album, that's when I was like, who is this? And then I went and listened to a lot of singles that she put out. So I think this is officially the first proper LP. And it doesn't disappoint. It's a wonderful album. It's about isolation, of course, because there's so many people that are tapping into that. But it's also about dissent. It's also about acts of rebellion. It's also about speaking out. And there's so many wonderful tropes, and there's so many wonderful ideas that she brings together. She is a masterful craftswoman when it comes to putting together electronic sounds. And again, if you want to listen to a nice, cool electronic album, and there's even some poppy tunes in some of her songs, you need to listen to Ella Minus, Acts of Rebellion. And again, please answer my emails. I love you. That's it.
Yeah, because she listens to the podcast, and she listens all the way to the end.
I know she has.
And she's like, okay, I'm going to answer the email now.
So if you know Ella, tell her to please jump to minute 67 or 65 to hear her shout out.
She's definitely going to email back now. Thank you so much, Ella. Oh, my God. We can't wait to interview you. Okay. Well, I've been consuming a lot of media lately, and so, like, old TV shows, not old, but, like, TV shows that I've been, like, trying to finish. So, as I mentioned before, in a future episode, we're going to have Dr. Erica Abad back on to talk about some media. So, if you haven't seen Love, Victor yet, I recommend you watch it. I know they're working on the second season of that show now, and it centers around a Latinx family. It's a spinoff of the movie Love, Simon, which is a story of a white boy who has really no hardships except for coming out in high school and then spoiler alert, he comes out and he makes out with the guy on a Ferris wheel and the whole school claps for him, which is like the opposite of what we're used to seeing.
Right.
Because if it was 10 years ago, that kid would have been probably bullied and, you know, violently attacked after that.
Wedge it out.
There has been some progress. Huh?
Wedge it out.
Yeah, there would have been a wedgie scene for sure. So I also watched I May Destroy You. I finished it. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that I did, because after like episode 4 of Michaela Cole's show, I May Destroy You, she's the same creator, artist who did Chewing Gum, the comedy. That there was 2 seasons of, and it's loosely. So I May Destroy You is actually loosely based on like Michaela's life and what happened after chewing gum.
Oh wow!
She became really famous because of the show, and then there was pressure for a second season, and you know, things started happening in her life. It was like a snowball effect of like this millennial getting all this attention, and so that. Aspect of it kind of reflects in the story of the main character that's also played by Michaela Cole in I May Destroy You. But for all of our listeners, so many trigger warnings. The show, basically every episode is about sexual assault in different ways, and how it's normalized and how people with sexual assault are treated. But most importantly, I think that it was really cool to see the perspective of somebody that's gone through a traumatic experience like that, and like how their body and how their mind moves through the world after something like that happens to them, because it's really hard to explain to people like what happens to you after something like that happens, you know. So like a TV show, you know, is the perfect way to illustrate that.
Yeah.
Because you can do it in episodes, you can do it in chunks. There's so many layers to, you know, to what happens to survivors after also. And it's truly, I think it's like a beautiful work of art, the whole season, the way that it was laid out. I honestly hope there's not a season 2, because I think it's a great show as it is. Like it's, I think there's 12 episodes. And so again, if you're sensitive to looking at images of people kind of recounting sexual assault and things like that, you might not be able to get through the show because there is some explicit content here and there. But I didn't know if I was going to be able to make it through, but I'm glad I made it past like the 4th episode, and then it got a little bit, it got into different topics. So I know there's a lot of gay guys, for example, that listen to this show. And gay men are very misogynist and
are they
also and also don't watch shit unless there's gay guys in it,
right.
So I just want to let you know now that there's a gay storyline. There's a gay man in the show that's one of her best friends, and they also go into his stories. So there's many perspectives within the show. It's not only about one person. So
and she wrote this,
you know. Yes.
Oh, that's great. That's cool.
It's really great. The last episode is, I really liked the last episode. It was really artsy. So check it out. I May Destroy You. I know I'm late. Like that show came out a long time ago, but I just finished it. So I'm recommending it. what else am I watching? I started watching Pen 15. I recommend that show. That show is really hard for me to watch. Also, because it's really funny, but it's like pena ajena every episode. Every episode that I watch of that show, I want to turn it off at the commercial break every time, because I cannot. It's so relatable. Have you ever seen the show, Babs?
Uh-uh.
Okay, do you know what it's about? Can I tell you really quick?
Dime.
it's these two women that are our age now. They're in their 30s, and they are playing themselves, but they're playing themselves as they were in middle school. And so,
oh my God,
they're adults, but they're like, you know, they're styled and dressed, you know, they're styled to look like they're middle schoolers. But because they're adults, they're like really tall compared to everybody else in the school. So everybody else in the show is kids except for them, like in middle school. Wow. And they went to middle school in like late 90s, early 2000s, like same time that I went to middle school, you know? And so it's set in that era, and it's so funny just to see these girls just like go through middle school. And second season came out recently. I think I'm like three episodes in, and it's just so cringy because, you know, middle school is fucking brutal, but it's a great show. It's a great show.
Have you seen Everything's Fine with Sarah Cooper?
No, I haven't seen that.
I just watched like an episode, and I've been watching clips because I heard an interview in a podcast with her and all her TikToks. She basically lip syncs to the words of Donald Trump. Dude, when I tell you, it's very interesting because she talks about how the shit that comes out of this man's mouth, it's so outrageous, but we're kind of like tuned off to it. That when you have a woman of color lip syncing, then you, and it actually from a woman, and because we're so used to like hearing all this stupid shit from all these dumb white men, right? That when you hear it from the lips of like a person of color, like you that suddenly realize that it's insane, that it's not right. And so she has all these TikToks where she's just lip syncing to the words of Donald Trump, and they are so, so funny. And she, because of those TikToks, she got the show. It's called Everything's Fine. It's pretty funny. I liked it, and I haven't got into a comedy show in a while, so I wanted to know if you watched it, because watching those YouTube videos, because I don't have TikTok, I was I'm in therapy right now for my back, so I was just laying there and having my back stretch and laughing out loud. So I wonder what the chiropractor thought of me, because I was just alone in a room laughing como sonso, man, because I was watching those videos. It's so good. It's good stuff.
Cool. I gotta check it out.
Okay, so anything else?
That's it
for me too.
All right, as always, you could visit us at latinoswholunch.com. again, ask lwlpod@gmail.com is our email if you want to send in a listener letter. We might read it on a future episode. Also, if you have a moment, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. 5 stars.
5 stars solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega, with production assistance from Maite Sosa. The music you're listening to now is by the band Balloon. I'm Favi Fav.
And I'm Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao.